Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Johnson, who serves as the Executive Director of the Institute for New Economic Thinking and is a Senior Fellow and Director of the Global Finance Project for the Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt Institute. He recently served on the United Nations Commission of Experts on International Monetary Reform under the chairmanship of Joseph Stiglitz. Previously, he was Managing Director of Soros Fund Management and was Chief Economist of the United States Senate Banking Committee and the United States Senate Budget Committee. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Johnson.
Pleasure to be here.
And you have just been meeting with senior IMF officials, and clearly with the there have been several intense days with world leaders gathered for the annual meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And given that the Dow had its worst week since October 2008 on Friday, clearly there's concerns about the markets on Monday. Is this drift going to continue?
Well, I think it's the question there is it's all up to the Germans. The German government right now is like an insurance agency that wrote a policy on the rest of Europe, and now that there's been an accident, particularly in Greece, they're not sure they want to pay. So everybody's testing the Germans as to whether they will come in and modify these structures that govern the financial system of Europe, fortify particularly Spain and Italy, and put things back on track. Absent that, you could see an unwinding of the European common market and an unwinding of the currency system called the euro, and a calamity probably on par with Lehman Brothers in 2008.
Well, George Soros has been warning that the German people think they have a choice here, and clearly the German politicians are responding to an angry populace. Surely what's really happening here is the German people will be bailing out German banks, won't they?
Well, I think that bailing out the German banks is at the German banks and to some degree Spanish banks is at the core of the vulnerability, and possibly the French banks as well. When people default on sovereign government debt, a lot of that sovereign government debt is held by banks within the European system. And so at some level, the countries are deciding whether they'd rather blow up the system and then bail out the banks, or would they rather bail out the countries, which would then obviate the need to bail out the banks.
So we have any number of warnings from the World Bank and from the IMF, and then we have the U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner saying the threat of cascading default, bank runs, and catastrophic risk must be taken off the table. This couldn't be plainer, surely.
Well, one of the things that's happened recently is that the European banks have been funding themselves in what's called the shadow banking market of the United States. They've been borrowing dollars in New York from money market funds. And just like in 2008, when there were defaults on Lehman paper, some of the money market funds, which do not have deposit insurance, so-called broke the buck, meaning they had to give you back 97 cents on the dollar. What's happened recently is that the American money market funds have essentially stopped being willing to lend to European banks. As their banking enterprises kind of grind down because they can't fund themselves, they're calling back loans or not extending loans, both to each other and to many of the emerging markets. European banks provide about $3.5 trillion of the $5 trillion dollars of bank lending worldwide, according to the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements. And so they are the biggest channel of funds to the emerging markets, and that's drying up.
But isn't there an irony here, Robert Johnson, that the emerging markets like China and Brazil are actually helping bail out the Europeans?
Well, they haven't agreed to that yet, but certainly the vitality of their two economies helps people export to those two countries. And they are contemplating making financial contributions in return for enlarged voting share and political power within the International Monetary Fund.
Again, I'm speaking with economist Robert Johnson, who's executive director of the Institute for New Economic Thinking. So there is this, I feel like we're in this peculiar kind of maroon in a kind of twilight zone between dire economic realities and dismal political possibilities. And I think that applies both to Europe and to the United States. And this is the European crisis has been going on for some time. Clearly, they've all, you know, the politicians are slow and the markets are fast. So, I guess the question on most people's mind is that are they going to drop the ball here? I mean, are we going to slip into not to quote Soros again? He said that we really are in a recession. Well, if they don't get their act together soon, we're going to be in a depression, surely.
Well, I think that's the danger, because depressions usually come from banking calamities. The 1930s were really became a world in depression, to quote Charles Kindleberger's famous book, when the German banking crisis and Austrian banking crisis happened in 1931. We had a pretty narrow escape in 2008, but I would say we're just in a continuation of that crisis, and to the extent that these authorities from the 17 European countries don't get their act together, they can tip us over the edge. At some level, like Lehman transmitted around the world, something emanating from Europe and Greece can propagate right into the United States and to other parts of Asia and Latin America.
So presumably, Robert Johnson, having just met with the top IMF officials, and they're meeting in Washington, and the world leaders are gathering, of course, at the UN. So there's no shortage of meetings going on here. What's the level of recognition of the dire nature of this? Not to mention, of course, that the IMF has said that we're in a dangerous phase.
Well, I would say Christine Lagarde, the new managing director of the IMF, did a very good job at the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City Jackson Hole Conference saying banks in Europe need more capital. Number two, she's done a very good job of talking about the slowdown and the need to resist austerity, and she set the tone for these meetings. But Tim Geithner is worried and speaking very publicly, our Treasury Secretary in the United States, and at a panel I attended this morning, Jean-Claude Trichet, Ben Bernanke, the Shirakawa, the governor of the Bank of Japan, and the deputy prime minister from Singapore, all spoke very lucidly about their concerns. So I don't think this is something that is surprising to any of these officials, but the tractability of a solution that requires 17 parliaments to ratify a solution while the financial markets and financial speculators are bearing down on the process, This is a very complicated thing, but it's not for failure to recognize the danger.
So, Robert Johnson, what's going to happen then with the 440 billion euro fund, the so-called EFSF? The United States apparently have urged Europe to leverage that fund, possibly with the support of the European Central Bank. Is that going to happen, and will that staunch the bleeding?
I think they're talking about leveraging that fund by using that capital to guarantee banks or to guarantee the European Central Bank, the ECB, against losses to the extent that they buy more of these bonds and try to stabilize these markets and therefore stabilize the bank balance sheets. Paul Volcker has talked openly in the Washington this week about hoping that other countries like the United States and China will actually commit money to this stabilization fund to make sure, as he says, it's a big enough gun that it scares people and never has to be used.
So the European Central Bank, the ECB, it's basically set up to pursue low inflation. Can it, reinvent itself, on a dime?
Probably not, and it's very controversial, of course, within Germany, which has an experience in the 20s with hyperinflation, because they don't want, essentially, their central bank to do fiscal policy. But everybody realizes right now that either they have to very quickly vote to enlarge the scale of the European financial mechanism, the EFSF, or they have to use leverage, because unless they, what you might say, create a countervailing pressure vis-a-vis the bond markets, the speculative episode will be kind of a self-fulfilling crisis, and it's well underway. This is one of those episodes of ounce of prevention would have been a pound of cure. 2 years ago, the Europeans could have put this fire out for very little money. They've allowed it to rage. They've avoided restructuring, and now it's how would I, as you mentioned, threatening to propagate all over the world and could tip us all down into recession again when our economies are all very fragile.
So clearly, Robert Johnson, this has enormous political implications, and we are in a clearly a political year with an even more one coming up. The president has to be recognizing that no president's been elected with the unemployment figures that he currently has re-elected since FDR was in so he's got quite a millstone around his neck. If this goes the way that many are warning, and we don't know what will happen on Monday, do we, with the markets? They certainly tanked on Friday. What are the political, is there anything left in the political toolbox?
I think that the political toolbox is in stalemate in the United States. After the debt ceiling and some of the problems between the Republicans and Democrats, we do not see any clear path for using fiscal policy in the United States to offset the weakness that we've seen. And if there's more weakness coming because of a European calamity, how we get our Congress to basically save us from crisis when they're more interested in austerity and liquidating the public sector just on ideological grounds, I think is a very, I think it's very troubling.
So do you think we could have this extraordinarily embarrassing and ironic situation where the global economy is going to hell in a handbasket and the United States government is shut down because the ideologues in the House who are insisting on cutting any monies out of a bill that's meant to compensate people for the recent hurricanes because they don't like, improving the gas mileage of cars that are being built in Detroit. They've taken $1.8 billion out. We could be facing a government shutdown here in the United States while the world is facing this financial crisis.
I would say that prospect of a government shutdown is less dangerous. I think they'll work that out. I think the big danger is that we do not respond vigorously in the event that a European crisis unfolds, and I think that's very problematic.
Well, you should take that call, and I thank you for joining us, Robert Johnson. Hello? Again, I've been speaking with Robert Johnson, who serves as the Executive Director of the Institute for New Economic Thinking. He's a Senior Fellow and Director of the Global Finance Project at the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Institute. He recently served on the United Nations Commission of Experts on International Monetary Reform under the chairmanship of Joseph Stiglitz. Previously, he was Managing Director of Soros Fund Management and was Chief Economist of the United States Senate Banking Committee and the United States Senate Budget Committee. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting, and you can also contact me at ianmasters.com. And I'll be back tomorrow and throughout the week, Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.